One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're festive.
We're in the holiday season.
Holiday season.
And Santa Claus is on his way. With every girl in his big red sleigh.
Hey. We're doing an all Andrew's Sisters throwback episode this week.
Yeah, sorry, everybody.
Everyone was so, like, I don't know what the word for it is. Like, not laid back, but just, like, people just, they didn't have the vocal energy that people used to sing now.
Yeah.
It was just, like, everything was.
It was very, like, half drunk.
Right.
Syrupy.
Yeah.
Sort of like, yeah, I'm just gonna sing this.
Even, like, you know, the Andrew Sisters doing Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy or something. It's like, and watch the company jump. And, you know, just
Well, I wonder if that's also the proliferation of vocal training programs that have since come out.
Yeah.
That people now, like, actually know how to use their voices in a really powerful way.
Or maybe it was the fact that people started cracking down on drinking in the recording studio.
Yeah, probably. Well, then, so there was, like, that, and then there was Ethel Merman, who was like, "Hello!"
Oh, my God. One of our listeners' earbuds just flew out of their ears. Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. I do love Ethel Merman. And if you haven't heard Ethel Merman's disco remix of, what is it? Anything Goes, right? No,
Gypsy,
it's...
right? Everything's Coming Up Roses?
I don't know. Anyway, Ethel Merman has a disco album. But
yeah,
and if you didn't know that, then, like, Merry Christmas to you. Because
perfect stocking stuffer if you need a last-minute gift.
Yes.
Anyway...
we're going to do a little bit of Christmas stuff this episode.
Yeah.
And a little bit of Hanukkah stuff, not really.
Kinda.
Sorta.
We'll see.
But happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. I mean, we've already done a Klezmer song. We've already done contemporary Christian music.
Yeah.
We've already done gospel. Like, I don't know. Well, I mean, we're still going to do a random genre.
Yeah.
We'll see what
Maybe
what
we'll
comes
get
up.
Carol.
Maybe. Or maybe we'll get a... holiday themed topic.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Like pine.
Santa. Pine?
Pine cones.
Pine cones. Yes, you're going even further off the off the track.
Pine cones
there.
Are on wreaths.
Sure.
Yeah.
And also on pine trees.
What's a song salad?
A song salad. We didn't do this last time.
I know.
Ah,
nobody knows.
Nobody. Yeah. Everybody just stopped listening. It's very confusing. A song salad is a short song that we write about a random topic in a random style of music.
That's true, Shannon.
Oh, thanks, Scott. Should we just get a salad spinner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do
it. Let's get a salad spinner.
To keep with the holiday spirit, it's not Christmas, but it's another holiday, Halloween. We have a salad spinner suggestion from our very own at Todd the Linguist, who we wrote a utan for last week.
Yes.
The ringtone that he now has on his phone as his ringtone.
Everybody call Todd.
He suggested the salad spinner this week be David S. Pumpkins.
And we are just handing out the holiday goodies, because if you don't know what David S. Pumpkins is.
Look it up.
You should absolutely look it up.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to, like, should we split it up again, or do you want to just, like, do...
Let's split it up, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We'll each do our favorite part of David S. Pumpkins.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Sure.
All right. I'm so in the weeds with David Pumpkins.
Hi, Nerng.
What is that?
Oh.
Mm.
High energy. Hi, Nerg. Or high energy, is a genre of up-tempo disco or electronic dance music that originated in the U.S. and the United Kingdom during the 1970s and early 1980s.
The ghost of Ethel Merman has visited us and given us a disco genre.
As a music genre, typified by a fast tempo, staccato hi-hat rhythms, and the four-on-the-floor pattern...
That's
reverberated intense vocals and pulse. Wait, what'd you say?
That's a drum. That's a drum.
Reverberated intense vocals and pulsating octave bass lines. It was particularly influential on the EDM scene.
Hmm.
Its earliest association was with Italo disco, which incorporated new American electronic sounds of post disco and high NRG.
High NRG.
High NRG.
Okay.
We have a couple examples here.
Yeah.
In 1977, Donna Summer was interviewed about her single, I Feel the Love. I Feel Love, which was a mostly electronic, relatively high-tempo disco song without a strong funk component.
Mm.
In the interview, she said, this song became a hit because it has a high-energy vibe.
Donna Summer, you trendsetter.
Following that interview, the description high energy was increasingly applied to high-tempo disco music, especially songs dominated by electronic timbres. The tempo threshold for high-energy disco was around 130 to 140 beats per minute. In the 1980s, the term high energy was stylized as high, H-I, hyphen, N-R-G. Eurobeat, dance pop, and freestyle artists like Shannon.
That's very weird. We have to click that.
Doc Aitken Waterman, Taylor Dane, Freeze with three E's, or Michael Sembello were also labeled as high NRG when sold in the United States.
I really love how you're saying high energy.
Energy.
It is really bringing me joy.
Well, I feel like I have to say it, NRG.
High NRG.
Yes.
Yeah, like a robot that's malfunctioning a little bit.
High NRG.
NRG.
It's like Siri.
I was going to say something about timbre,
mm-hmm.
and that it is a word that I always have to pause for a second before I say it out loud.
So you don't say timber?
Yes. Or timbers.
Timbers.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So... high NRG referred not just to any high-tempo disco or dance music, but to a specific genre, only somewhat disco-like, disco-esque. High energy is, however, typified by an energetic, staccato sequence synthesizer sound of octave bass lines, or and. Who does or slash and slash or?
Never seen that before.
Okay, I distrust this entire article because like an alien would write or and, where the bass often takes the place of the hi-hat. Oh, the bass takes the place of the hi-hat, alternating a more resonant note with a dampened note to signify the tempo of the record.
Hmm.
There's often heavy use of the clap sound found on drum machines.
Saw a little further down the article, one of the classic examples of a high energy song is "You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right Round Like a Record, Baby." Yeah. So let's play that as our example.
I think that's great.
So here is "You Spin Me Round Like a Record" by Dead or Alive.
Nice.
A little bit more about the style and instrumentation of high energy music. I found a listing here that says there would be a few hooks generally sung by disembodied vocalists wailing in the background. Like that. I guess we're done.
Yep, that's it.
You know what makes me think of, though, is Grooves in the Heart.
Oh,
where it's just like sort of in the background over this like dance beat. It's just grooves in the heart, in the heart, something like that.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's the kind of like chorus we should do in our song. The emphasis of the music, like most dance music, is in the beat. High energy was a predecessor to techno and house, which drew from its beats in decidedly different ways. House is funkier and more soulful. And techno has expanded the mechanical beats of high energy. So it's really like that sort of like missing link between disco and electronica. You know, this is it. High energy.
We found it.
We found it.
Also, all the so on this page, it's allmusic.com, the high energy artist highlights. All the women are, like, very afraid of something.
Yeah, they look scared.
Look how scared Camille is.
I know.
Look how scared Alison Moyet is. Kim Wilde is maybe, like, not... She's a little apprehensive.
She's, like, in a weird hallway.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah. I do want to look up Shannon.
Yeah.
Shannon.
Oh my God.
Singer.
British.
Shannon Brenda Green, better known as Shannon, is an American recording artist and singer of high energy and dance pop music, and is a songwriter. She's best known for her million-selling record single, Let the Music Play. And she is considered the queen of high energy.
Oh, queen of high energy, huh? Oh, Shannon, British singer, is a disambiguation. Sorry, guys. It's not British. Okay.
I don't know this song.
I think I know it.
Let's listen to it.
Yeah.
Tidy Cats.
Cat litter. Cat litter.
That's Let the Music Play. Yes.
Yeah.
So Shannon, there you are. Good song, Shannon.
I'm a beautiful black woman with cornrows.
No one can see you, so maybe that's true.
Maybe it is.
Well, should we get a topic?
Yeah, let's get our topic. It's your David S. Pumpkins.
David S. Pumpkins salad spinner.
Yes.
Ready or not, here we dance. What?
Oh, okay. Cannibalism in the Cars.
I'm scared.
Is a short story written in 1868 by American writer Mark Twain.
What?
It tells the darkly humorous tale of apparent acts of cannibalism from the point of view of a congressman on a snowbound train. It indirectly satirizes the political system of the United States of America.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you were hoping for a holiday episode...
It's about a snowy train. It's a snowy train.
Sure, but it's also about cannibalism.
It'll be great.
All right, here's the synopsis.
Okay.
The story is about a group of men trapped on a train during a snowstorm. At Christmas? After a week, the men gradually realize they must resort to cannibalism for survival. They hold ineffective elections to select candidates and follow parliamentary procedure to a fault. The story continues in a similar vein for the other passengers. Quote, after breakfast, we elected a man by the name of Walker from Detroit for supper. He was very good. I wrote his wife so afterward. He was worthy of all praise. I shall always remember Walker. He was a little rare, but very good. And then the next morning, we had a Morgan of Alabama for breakfast. We had Morgan of Alabama for breakfast. He was one of the finest men I ever sat down to. Handsome, educated, refined, spoke several languages fluently, a perfect gentleman. He was a perfect gentleman and singularly juicy.
Ooh. At the end of the story, after the teller of the story departs the train, the conductor clarifies to the shocked listener, he was a member of Congress once, and a good one, but he got caught in a snowdrift in the cars and like to have been starved to death. He got so frostbitten and froze up generally, and he used up for want of something to eat, that he was sick and out of his head 2 or 3 months afterward. He is all right now, only he is a monomaniac, and when he gets on that old subject, he never stops till he eats up that whole carload of people he talks about.
Interesting.
Wait, what? So it was a dream or it wasn't? Analysis. Yeah.
The story uses wordplay to raise the foreground to latent double meanings that accompany political discourse. It is framed as a secondhand story heard by another train rider, with the narrator using the vernacular and mannerisms of a politician rather than a common man. The conclusion of the story leaves open to interpretation whether the entire story might be a fabrication or might be true, but masked away from the popular conscience.
Okay. All right, Mark Twain.
So, a high energy dance song about the Mark Twain short story, Cannibalism in the Cars.
Great. Super duper great.
Should we see if we can read the full text?
Yeah, let's do that. I wonder how long it is.
While you read the full text, should we play a Utahn?
Let's play our Utahn.
This Utahn goes out to loyal listener Alexa.
And Alexa was the one who solved the mystery of the big fucking plane
last week.
Mystery
of the buff.
Yeah. Well, it was her husband, Dave.
Right.
And Alexa requested a special Christmas song.
Which makes this our Christmas episode.
Yes. As a gift for her parents, who, from what it sounds like, go balls to the wall with Christmas.
They go cheese balls to the walls.
Yes.
For Christmas.
So she sent us a lot of information about all of the traditions and funny things that her family does at Christmas.
Right.
And about incorporating her relatively recent husband, mm-hmm. they've been married a little over a year, who is Jewish, mm-hmm. into their Christmas traditions. So she wrote about that.
So she wanted us to write a Christmas song in the style of Mannheim Steamroller.
Which I'm sure all of your mothers listened to. My mom did.
And sort of have it be a part of their Christmas tradition from now on, mm-hmm. Listening to this new song about their Christmas traditions and about Dave being a part of their family now.
And how would you characterize Mannheim Steamroller?
I would say it's a very synthesizer-heavy instrumental covers of Christmas music.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Has a very 80s sound to it.
So here is the new Devlin family tradition carol called The Devlin's One Christmas.
Enjoy.
Papa, do you think we could win Christmas this year?
Oh, don't you know, Tiny Tim? The Devlins win every year.
Oh, tinsel.
Watch your language. It's Christmas.
You fools can try, but triumph's clear. The Devlins won Christmas this year.
Rob and Priscilla are all set. Cookies and gifts both overflow. Which one's for you? She might forget. Light the angels so they'll know. Our plate of cheese is plentiful. Our insane tree is magical. Can't see its boughs neath all the cheer. The Devlins won Christmas this year.
Dave, 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 Dave.
Jew son-in-law, not Hanukkah. At least he makes potato cakes. What can we say on Christmas Day? Why not just ask?
Bring him to Mass.
What are the wishes he'll get for Christmas? Don't wrap with red, use blue instead.
Jew son-in-law, 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 Jew son-in-law.
Our manger scene is populous. Our PJs are unscrupulous. Can't see their holes because it's clear. The Devlins win it every year.
Ah, tinsel.
Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas.
And Happy Hanukkah, which starts on Christmas Eve this year.
Yes, it does. Late.
So, Happy Christmonicah to the Devlins and the Edelmans as they celebrate together. We hope you enjoyed your song. And if you would like a Utahn, you can go to our Give Forward page. We still have about 10 days? No, a little bit. Yeah, like 10 days left in our Give Forward campaign. You can go to our website, songsaladpodcast.com, for a link to give any amount of money you want. Doesn't matter how small. And we will write you a customized song. And we've actually raised enough money that I think we'll be able to get me a microphone.
We'll definitely be able to get you a microphone. And possibly a little advertising, too.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. So thank you.
This is like above and beyond what we expected. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. And thank you again, Alexa and Dave, for this awesome chance to write you a Utahn.
All right, back to cannibalism.
Back to cannibalism. What the season's all about. I read the story.
Yeah?
It's dumb. It's really...
Is it like really heavy-handed?
I mean, yes, but it's like also not... Okay, so I imagine maybe that if you are a big Dorcas about parliamentary procedure, you might think it was a little bit funny.
I think that covers some of our listener base.
Yeah, I think so, maybe. So it's a fairly short story. So what happens is there's a guy on the train who meets another guy on the train.
Yep.
And then the guy that he meets is like, oh, let me tell you this crazy story about this time I was trapped on a train and then I ate everybody on the train after we decided to elect which people would be eaten. And then we got rescued. Oops, this is my stop. Let me get off the train. And then the guy's like, what the fuck? And then he looks at the conductor. And then the conductor's like, oh, don't mind him. He's just an old crazy congressman who did get trapped on a train and then went crazy because he almost starved. He didn't really eat all of them. So it is a complete joke. I mean, like, not even in the fiction of the story did it really happen. Sure. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And most of the... most of the story is told as like a script almost.
Huh.
So they just like say the character name and then colon and then dialogue back and forth in, I guess, the sort of spirit of, you know, like recording court proceedings or something almost. Mm-hmm. And I guess the joke of it is that like people are sad when they're not nominated and elected. They're like, oh, I lost. Like, darn it. Like, my candidate lost and we wanted him to win.
Even though it's about getting eaten.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And, I get it.
And then also they eat someone for every meal. And I'm like...
a new person for every
meal. It's like, how much freaking people do you need to eat to survive for like... 2 weeks? Like, do you really need to eat a whole person at every single meal? And then there's also one guy that they eat that they're like, oh, he really doesn't taste good. I'm not going to eat him. Let's get another one.
Oh.
So, like, yeah. So, it's all about, like, who was fat and who was stout and who was skinny and who was brittle and, like, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But, like, there's not any scenes. It's just, like, telling.
So, what do you think is the point?
I think the point is, like, look how ridiculous and bureaucratic our government is when they can turn even this, like, really, really dire life or death situation into a bureaucratic nightmare where people's priorities are getting really warped because they're like, no, I care about winning. I don't care that it means that I'm going to get eaten.
Ah.
All right. That's what I think.
Thanks, Mark Twain.
It's not super compelling. And I feel like there are many other, I mean, at least like now, there are many other much more effective skewers of the government at this point in time. But maybe like back then when it was like printed in the newspaper, people were like, this is hilarious. I don't know.
Yeah.
So not exactly sure how I'm going to turn this into a high NRG song.
I was just going to ask. That was the next question.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to look up some more. See if there are any lyrical themes to high energy that would allow me to, you know, maybe make a little bridge between the two.
Sure. Okay. But, in the meantime, I wanted to talk about something that we touched on when reading the Wikipedia article about high energy.
Okay.
Which was the idea of the bass replacing the hi-hat.
Oh, yeah.
To get it away from a disco sound and into an electronic sound.
Okay.
So... the classic disco hi-hat pattern is probably something that you have heard before and we used on our disco song, and it sounds like this. So that's the classic hi-hat, like, disco feel.
Sure.
So they were talking about an octave bass line replacing the hi-hat, which would sound like this. So it's... taking the same rhythm the hi-hat would have been playing and taking that same emphasis on downbeat, offbeat, downbeat, offbeat, and just doing it in the bass instead of the hi-hat. So if you listen back to You Spin Me Right Round, they had the bass doing that octave pattern and the hi-hat was doing something completely different, just like a kind of pattern so that it didn't feel like a straight-up disco.
Yeah.
It felt more like electronic pop. So that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
And... as we heard in the other examples, the rest of the instrumentation is straight up electronic, just synthesizers, sounds. There's a lot of that, like, kind of 80s, like, kind of like percussive, like, it's almost
robot
electric,
noise.
Robot marimba kind of things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're going to do that.
What about then, the, like, laser noises?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, or like, whatever. Like, just, like, kind of randomly in the middle of the song.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do that.
Cool.
And that'll be our song. And we also are going to do the same kind of tempo range that it lists as specific to high energy, which is between 130 and 140 beats per minute.
Okay.
Which is like a good similar workout. Tempo. Yeah, it's like it's faster than your heart rate.
Yeah.
So it gets you excited and gets you pumped up. And it's a similar tempo to what they play in like department stores to get you excited about buying things.
Really?
That's, you know, Muzak and Z-A-K. Yeah, it's in that same tempo range because it encourages like excitement about shopping.
Oh.
Yeah.
Perfect for the Christmas spirit.
There you go.
Yeah.
Connecting it all.
Yes. So, Scott, would you say that high energy?
Yes.
Is a subgenre of synth pop?
I would say synth pop came later.
Ah, okay.
Synth pop was probably like mid to late 80s, and high energy was late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
Why?
Because I can't really find any lyrical characteristics of high energy.
Uh-huh.
But I can find some lyrical themes of synth pop in general.
Okay. What are those?
So the lyrical themes in synth pop were isolation, urban onomy. Urban space onomy, and I will talk about that. And the feelings of being emotionally cold and hollow.
Oh, wow.
Which is like kind of depressing. But then in the second phase in the 80s, so I think that was earlier in synth pop. So maybe like at the very like nascent beginning of synth pop, not in the 80s, maybe in the late 70s. In the 80s, lyrics were more conventional to pop lyrics, so more optimistic with like romance, escapism, and aspiration. So I'm thinking of going more, especially given the topic, I'm thinking I'm going more with the early themes of synth pop.
Sure.
Isolation, urban anime, and feelings of being emotionally cold and hollow. And so I looked up anime, and amazingly appropriate. So anime is a condition in which society provides little moral guidance to individuals.
That is weirdly perfect.
It is the breakdown of social bonds between the individual and the community.
Huh.
E.g., under unruly scenarios resulting in fragmentation of social identity and rejection of self-regulatory values.
Mm.
It was popularized by French sociologist Émile Durkheim in his influential book, Suicide, in 1897. He describes anomie as derangement and an insatiable will.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's a mismatch between personal or group standards and wider social standards. It's very interesting.
That works.
Yes, it works very well. So I'm thinking maybe something about like this breakdown in social order that happens on the train, but in a really perversely ordered way.
Okay.
Because, you know, they have a procedure, like a highly bureaucratic procedure to do this. Very taboo thing. And I don't know what that's going to look like yet, but I think still it should be like upbeat and danceable.
Right.
And probably repetitive, because like if you look at a lot of these songs, because the beat is kind of like trance-like,
right.
The lyrics are also fairly repetitive.
Especially in the choruses.
Yes.
Yeah. Like let the music play or you spin me.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to do.
Cool. Well, I'm building my electronic landscape here. And we'll smoosh them together.
Cool. Always up for some smooshing.
Or toss them like a salad.
These lyrics were easier than I thought.
That's surprising.
They really just like flowed out once I started writing.
Huh?
So are you ready?
I don't know what to expect.
Okay. It's cold and stark, the train's been parked for far too long. My hunger grows and friends turn foes, my mind is gone. We need a way to eat today, and we know just what to do. Elect a guy that we can fry and mince him up for stew. Ooh. You know, and then so transitioned into the chorus.
Yep.
I'm a political cannibal, baby.
Oh, God.
We're gonna do this right. Political cannibal, honey, so we don't die tonight. And then kind of a callback to the chorus or verse. We need a way to eat today, and we've got the rules to prove it's not wrong because we all go along. Morality is removed.
Yep.
We're all political cannibals, baby, so we'll survive the night. Yeah, we're political cannibals, honey. If they tell you we're not right, they're wrong. Do 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 do. And then that's
it. Do 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 do.
Yeah.
Great. That's really good. Political cannibals is like of the moment.
Political cannibal, baby. No, I'm just like making it up.
That's like I know. The tune of Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical.
Get Physical. That was in my...
Political cannibal.
It was in my head, kind of, while I was writing this.
Well, how can you not do that rhythm? That'll be it.
So that's what I wrote. And you're right, it is a little au courant. Because no one can afford not to be political these days.
True.
So take a stand, everybody. Don't eat people.
Don't eat people.
I know,
that's
super
stand.
Super controversial statement.
Right.
But don't eat people.
You heard it here first on Song Salad. Don't eat people. Well, I've got my band cranking here, and it sounds so 80s.
I love it. Even though this is late 70s?
It sounds so late 70s.
Yes, 80s. There we go.
It'll be great.
Is it high NRG?
It is very high NRG.
Okay.
So I think we should lay it down.
Yeah, let's do it.
You got a title?
Political Cannibal, baby.
Great.
Just Political Cannibal.
Just Political Cannibal.
Yes.
Great. Okay, cool.
The baby was for you.
Thanks. Here it is, a high energy song by Shannon and Scott. Political Cannibal.
It's cold and stark. The train's been parked for far too long. My hunger grows and friends turn foes. My mind is gone. We need a way to eat today, and we know just what to do. Electric guy we can fry and mince him up for stew. I'm a political cannibal, baby. We're gonna do this right.
Cannibals, baby.
Hell yeah. That's one of my new favorite songs that we've done.
I could picture myself with a feather earring and a perm. I really liked it. Sort of a grainy music video.
Yeah, yeah. And like everybody just kind of like absent-mindedly just like
bopping,
gyrating
shoulder pads.
Like in a really like dark kind of club.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And, like, just instead of eating a person, it's, like, eating the Constitution. Political cannibal. Yeah. It'd be great. We should make a music video.
Oh, my God.
Next time we do a GoFundMe, what is it? What
was it? Give Forward.
Next time we do a Give Forward.
We never remember what it's called.
Next time we do a Give Forward, we should do it for a music video.
Oh, a Song Salad music video would actually be hilarious.
Be
for
awesome.
Some of our songs.
Yep.
Speaking of giving forward.
Yes.
I also just gave a gift to Wikipedia.
Aw. What'd you give them?
I gave them $3.
Oh, nice.
Because they're doing a fundraising drive right now. And we use them so much. And they're the backbone of this podcast.
They are.
And if everybody goes to Wikipedia and gives them just $3, then they wouldn't have to fundraise for many, many years. And we all really
So when you say everyone, how many people is that?
All of them.
All people.
All people.
Well, you heard that.
7 here. Billion people giving $3 each. $21
billion. Does Wikipedia need that much money?
I don't know, but they want it.
All right. So do I.
Yeah. You can also give us $21 billion.
If you have it.
Yeah. Just laying around.
What kind of a song would we write for that kind of money?
It would have to go on forever. So it would just consume our entire lives.
The rest of the podcast would just be dedicated to that person.
Yes.
Forever.
Forever.
Well, make it happen, folks.
Yes.
And thank you to Wikipedia for giving us all the random articles
yes.
for all of our songs.
Thank you, Wikipedia. And you can give by just going to Wikipedia, and there will be a giant pop-up that comes up in yes. front of you the literally first time giant. You visit it. Yeah. So go give.
Cool. Thank you again to Todd at Todd the Linguist for our salad spinner this episode.
And thank you, of course, to Alexa and Dave for donating for their awesome Utahn. Thank you to Kayla Wassel, who did our art at Kayla Wassel.
Kayla M. Wassel.
I messed it up.
At Kayla M. Wassel on Twitter.
Kayla M. Wassel on Twitter. And thank you, Scott.
Why?
For doing this podcast with
okay.
me.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you, too.
In the spirit of the holidays.
Yes. That's what Christmas is all about. We're if so I learned grateful. Anything from Love Actually,
ugh,
you have
that
to
movie.
Tell people what you think.
That's the what you took away from that movie?
Yeah.
Cool.
And then Keira Knightley's a bitch. Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're better than Keira Knightley.
Political cannibals.
1, 2, 3, 4.